Philippians 4:13 is our base scripture this morning. And I chose this scripture because, well, for a number of reasons. I use it a lot in my times of meditation. I find that more and more as I meditate on this scripture, it helps me to see who I am. It helps me to see how I can function in the world that God has put me in and the calling that God has put me in. So I use it a lot in my times of meditation. I also, Philippians 4:13 has really helped me in, if you're familiar with the put off, put on that we've been talking a lot about, the Bible in Ephesians talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. If you are born again, if you are a believer, then we have put off the old man. That's what we declared when we're born again, that it's not me. I put it off. I put on Christ. Amen? And so putting off and putting on helps us to write things on our heart, helps us to become who God has created us to be, helps God's reality become reality in our life. So I use this scripture a lot in my put off, put on exercises, and I'll show you that as I teach more. And I believe that this scripture, Philippians 4:13, can be used for any believer in all sorts of situations. And when I say any believer, kids, I mean you too. If you have Jesus in your heart, if you have given your life to Jesus, if he is your boss, you're a believer. And you can use this scripture just as much as a grown-up can. So let's look at it. Philippians 4, I'm going to read 11 to 13, and I'm going to read in the New Century Version. This is Paul speaking, and Paul says, I have learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. I have learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens, when I have enough to eat and when I go hungry, when I have more than I need and when I do not have enough. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Paul went through a ton of things, good and a ton of things bad, okay? And he's saying right here, you know, I know how to live when I'm happy. I know how to live when I'm not. I know how to live when I'm in abundance. I know how to live when things are not going so well. And the key is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the key right there. So I'm going to break this scripture down for us a little bit, and I'm going to look at it in three different parts. The first part I'm going to look at is I can do all things. Okay, turn to Psalm 139 for me. Let's look at this together. And the first thing I want to point out is you are somebody. You know, when you use this scripture and you say, I can do all things, I means I means Elaine, I means Jenna, I means Alicia, I means John, I means Jessica, okay? You can do all things. You are somebody. And I absolutely love this section of scripture. We're going to read Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2, and I'm going to read it in the New Century Version first. And then we'll skip on down. But let's read verses 1 and 2 first. Lord, you have examined me and you know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know where I go and where I lie down. I'm going through 4, not 2. You know where I go and where I lie down. You know thoroughly everything I do. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. Now we're going to go down to 13 to 15, 16 actually. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and a wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. And what I want to point out here is there is not two people in this room that are alike. There's not two people in this room. We could have twins sitting here, which we don't. You may look the same if you're a twin, but you are totally different. And when God breathed life into you and watched you as you formed in your mother's womb, he knew ahead of time what it was that you were to do. He knew ahead of time what it was that his plan for you. God says, my plan's for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So when you think about this scripture, I can do all things. Think me, like there's nobody else like me. I am me. I am different from my brother. I am different from my sister. I am different from my husband. I am different from my children. Kids, you are different from your parents. You are different from your friends. God has fashioned you exactly the way he wants you to be. You are somebody. And God has a plan for your life. And God needs you. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. And with that word workmanship means his handiwork. That means he took some time when he created you. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Going back to 139, your name was written in that book. All the days were planned for you before you were a day old. God planned it ahead of time, who you're supposed to be and what you were supposed to do. And he needs you. He needs us all. Jess can't do the same things that Alicia can do, and she shouldn't, because God has something totally different for her than she does for him. For Sean, for Kathy, for Dave, something totally different. When God looks at you, Dave, he knows exactly what he created you for and what you should be doing, and he needs you, okay? You are his workmanship. You are his handiwork. There's a quote by Henry Ford, and Pastor likes this quote pretty well. He put it on Facebook again the other day. I've heard him say it a number of times. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. So when we think about that scripture, I can do all things. You have to believe that in your heart. You know, there are things that I'm sure God places in front of you, or situations you're put in, and it's easier for you to think, I can do this. I can do this. And then there's situations that you're put in, it's like, oh man, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. If God has called you to do that, if God has put you in that place, you can do that. I don't know who this pretty lady is sitting right here with Judy and Wayne, but I just heard her out in the foyer, and she was relating a story, and I came in on it, and she was relating a story to Wayne about a young person who I think was at a funeral and shared some things with the people, she said people were weeping and people were crying. You can do all things. You can do it. But it has to be in here. The way we see ourselves is going to determine how much we walk in the I can instead of the I can't. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. Okay? John 14, 12 said, let's turn to it. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Now this is Jesus talking, and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. This is Jesus talking. He says, I did great works, but when I go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will come, the Helper will come, and you will do greater things. All things. When God said, you can do all things, those were greater things than Jesus did. He said, it's good that I should go. Because when I go, the Holy Spirit's going to come. He will be in you. He will be with you. And you can do greater things than I even did. Wow, is that something to meditate on? Wow. You know, we say sometimes, boy, it would be really good to be on the earth when Jesus was here because, you know, we'd really like to watch Jesus. But you know what? He is in us, and he can be everywhere that we are doing greater works than when he walked the earth. Okay? When he says, do all things with God's call, with God's plan, with his assignment, comes his empowerment. God is not going to tell you to do something that he is not going to give you the strength to do. If you are a believer, you have that promise. If he has told you to do something, say something, be somewhere, change something, with that command, with that call, is the power to do it. Our God would not tell us to do something that we were not able to do. So remember that when it says, I can do all things is his will. Anything according to his will, anything that he has told you to do, you can do it because he will empower you to do it. So I can do all things. Now let's look at the next one, through Christ. Here's the key. I wish that could flash. Because here's the key. You know, a lot of us are very strong in certain areas. Most of us are strong in certain areas, maybe a little bit weaker in other areas. Some of us may be good teachers. Some of us may be good encouragers. Some of us may be good runners. Some of us may be good musicians. We can do things in our own strength, but through Christ, we can do all things. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you are a believer, that should be your heart. It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. How our minds can understand that, we can't. We can't. But all that means is, you know what? I put myself aside. And I choose to walk with Christ. I choose to die. Meaning, it's no longer I who lives. That old man is dead. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, when Christ was being crucified, he saw all of us. He saw all of us. And he knew that we would have the power to put our lives down and to follow after him. So when he was being crucified, he saw us being crucified. When he was being dead and when he was dead and buried, he saw us. When he was risen again, he saw us. And this should be the cry of our heart. This should be another heart belief that we meditate on over and over and over and over and see ourselves as crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I will live by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 2. Let's look there. Again, we're talking about we can do all things through Christ. We are in him. This is the key of doing all things. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9. For in him, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. What does that mean? That in Christ, all of God dwelt in bodily form. He was all man. He was all God. And in him, you have been made complete. And he is head over all rule and authority. Listen to me for a minute. Christ, all God, all man. If we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, Christ is in me, so all God is in me, and I am complete. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. Head doesn't understand that, because a lot of times we focus on where I fall short and what I lack in. But if Christ is in you, all of God is in you, and you are complete. But if we don't get to that place in our heart, we spend the rest of our lives working to become who we think God made us to be. Being complete means that you are righteous. And what do we know about being righteous? We're as we should be. If Christ is in you, you are as you should be. All we need to do is work on getting that into our heart. All we need to do is getting to that as our reality. That's how we see ourselves. Because it's already, God already said it. It's already real. It's already God's reality. It needs to become our reality. It needs to be go from here to here. I am complete because Christ is in me. If you've received, you know, a lot of us like to declare and we're happy about the fact that we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. We're happy about the fact that Jesus will never leave us and forsake us. We're happy about the fact that we're going to heaven when we die. We're happy about that. But do we really, really understand what we did when we gave Jesus our life and what happened? Jesus is saying, you don't lack anymore. You have every, you are as you should be. You are somebody. When God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Now, of course, like I said at the beginning, we're all unique, and God wants us all the way we should be with our temperaments and our giftings, and God can work through that. But it's Jesus working through Bill, who is a leader. It's Jesus working through Alicia, who is an expresser. Jesus is going to shine differently through Alicia. Jesus is going to shine differently through Bill. But both of them are complete. Both of them lack nothing, and both of them are able to do what God called them to do because it's Christ, because we are in him. And I think that we'll be meditating on this and pondering this until the day we leave our bodies. But I believe that we can, if we rest in it and meditate in it, I believe that we can grow in this more and more and more and more and more. And we can do what God has called us to do in more of a powerful way. All right. Colossians 1:27. We're right there. Just go back a little bit. Again, we're talking about we can do all things through Christ. That's the key. Colossians 1:27. You know what? I'm going to... let's start in 25. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. This is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the mystery. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What the heck does that mean? Sounds pretty. But I know this is another scripture that I have been meditating on and thinking about and thinking about and thinking about and picturing myself with Christ in me. Christ in you is the hope of God's reality. His glory is his reality. Everything about him, everything, his character, the way he operates, his presence, that is his glory. And Christ in all of us, we can expect that God's reality will manifest if we walk with Christ, with the reality that Christ is in me. If we walk in knowing that Christ is in me, then God's reality can become our reality, and God's reality can become the world's reality as they see us. That is the hope. Christ in you, you can confidently expect God's reality to be in your life if you will get a hold of Christ in you, if I will get a hold of Christ in me, okay? When we're born again, Christ lives in us, but there's so much more to grab and experience. It needs to become a heart reality, and we will live in it. So we can confidently expect Christ's reality, his view, his opinion, to become my reality as I meditate about of Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's look at the last part. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As we surrender to Christ and his righteousness, as we become more and more comfortable, we get more and more of the revelation of God in me and his righteousness, then the grace that we need for every single part of our life will flow in that area of our life. And what is grace? Grace is dunamis power. And what is dunamis power? Dunamis power is resurrection life. So as we surrender to Christ and his righteousness, as we walk in God's reality of Christ in me, then the grace will flow. God's resurrection power flows in our body if Christ is in us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read it in the New Century Version. Once again, this is Paul speaking. But he said to me, Jesus, my grace is enough for you. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. So I am very happy to brag about my weaknesses. Then Christ's power can live in me. For this reason, I am happy when I have weaknesses, insults, hard times, sufferings, and all kinds of troubles for Christ. Because when I am weak, then I am truly strong. Was Paul here saying, I'm really glad that I'm weak? No. Was he really saying, I'm really glad that I'm suffering? I'm really glad that I've gotten have all these troubles because, you know, it'll make me stronger. No. He said, in all these things, God's power can work in me. So I will not consider myself weak. I will not consider myself defeated. I will not consider myself somebody who can't do it. Christ's power lives in me, and I rejoice in my weaknesses. Because when I am weak, he is strong. When I feel like I can't do it, I focus on who he is in me, and I am strong. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is a prayer. If you've got a pen or a pencil, it would be a really good idea to underline verses 15 through 18. Actually, start in 14 and go through 21. Or circle the verse numbers or whatever. This is a good Holy Spirit-inspired prayer that you can pray for yourself, and you can pray for your family, and you can pray for anybody. There's so much meat in here. If you don't know what to pray for somebody, just open this up and pray and put the person's name in here. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I want to make a point here, but I want to be practical too. So how would we use this as a prayer for somebody? Say I was going to pray this for my family. I would say, I bow my knees before God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant to us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and that we would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that we would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Got that? Just wanted to be a little bit practical there. But the part that I want to pull out of this is in verse 16. That he would grant to us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And then in verse 20, that we are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't get it. Because if we actually had a handle on the fact that resurrection power, that same power, think about that for a minute, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead flows in your body. Every single cell of your body can be touched by the resurrection power of God, if you believe it. If you are struggling with sickness in your body, see it. The resurrection power of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is touching whatever part of your body is not right. If you are struggling with some sort of soulish issue, the resurrection of power of Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, can transform that. We are transformed, spirit, soul, and body, by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And we could preach on this from now until supper time. And we could get all excited about it, but if it's up here, and we get all excited about it, but if it's and it's not here, then when you walk out of here and you encounter another problem, you'll forget. If it's not real in you, you will forget. And the resurrection power of Christ will not be able to wipe out whatever it is that's coming against you. Whether we believe it in our heart or not, it is true. The resurrection power of God, the love of God, flows through our body. Whether it's going to have any effect on us or not is up to what we believe. He is in us to give us the power to live a life without limits. James Richards says that all the time. A life without limits. What's limiting you? Is sickness limiting you? Is how you feel about yourself limiting you? Is a relationship issue that you can't seem to get over limiting you? It doesn't have to. With Christ in you, you have the power to live a life without limits. We do not have a hold on that power that's available to us and that flows in us. And that's where we have to see it. We have to meditate on that. Can I ask how many of you meditate at this point? Okay. Of all of you that raised your hand, raise your hand if you have seen changes. Okay. Raise your hand if you see a change every time you do it, or if you can sense a change every time you do it. Well, praise God. Because there are times where I meditate and just sit in the presence of God and think about the scriptures and think about me living in those scriptures. And you know what? I don't always, when I come away from, I don't always feel like anything has happened, but the majority of the time, later on that day, later on that week, I realize, oh my gosh. Praise God. And you know what? I almost, like Paul says, I kind of like it when that happens, because I realize it's not me. It's not me. God knows what he's talking about. And God made a promise to me. If I just sit with him, sit in his presence and meditate on what he says about me, meditate on that power working in me, he's faithful. And it will produce a change in my life, whether I feel it when I get up from that chair or the bed or whatever, or not, because God is faithful. And I kind of like it in those times, because he reminds me, you know what? I love you. And if you just line up your reality with my reality, your view and opinion with my view and opinion, I am faithful, and it will work. It will happen. Okay? As we are, as he is, so are we in this world. There's another truth that we need to grab a hold of. Going back to the greater works. If we see ourselves as, you know, wake up in the morning before you get up out of bed and think of, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am as he is in this world. What is your world like? I get up in the morning, I take a shower, and I go out and I ride a bus with a bunch of special needs kids. That's my world in the morning. As he is, so am I on that bus. Or I should be. Elaine drives a bunch of school kids on the bus. As he is, so is she in their world. Wow. You might go to an office full of bickering people. As Jesus is, so are you in their world, in that environment. Wow. When we take the time in the morning to meditate on that, Father, when I leave this house, or when I get up out of this bed, as Jesus is, so am I in my family, in my house, in my school, in my world, at work, and see ourselves like that. Because that's what he said. That's what he said. Christ in us is the hope of God's reality to this world. And nothing is impossible to me because I believe that. So, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So let's get practical again. If you need healing in your body, I said that I use this a lot in my put off, put on. This might be how I do it. If I need healing in my body, I may say, I put off sinus issues. I am experiencing restoration in my body because Christ lives in me. And his resurrection power flows to every cell of my body, so I put on healing. In your relationships, have an issue with getting angry with somebody. I put off anger. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I can walk in love by his power, so I put on love. How about boldness or getting rid of fear? I put off fear. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can stand up in front of a bunch of people and preach. I put on boldness. See how that works? See how valuable this is? You can use this in pretty much any put off, put on. So if you're having a hard time, you know, coming up with a scripture to use to renew your mind, go back to this one. Go back to any of the ones that I used. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Okay? It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I can do this and put on whatever you need to put on. Okay? So let's look back at Philippians 4:13 again. And while you go back there, I'm going to sing the song for you. It's a very easy ditty. Kids, you may have heard me sing it before. You can teach it to your kids. It goes like this. I won't say I can't 'cause I can. I won't say I can't 'cause I can. I won't say I can't 'cause I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very easy. So let's look at Philippians 4:11 to 13 again. I have learned, put yourself in there. I've learned to be satisfied with the things I have and with everything that happens. I know how to live when I'm poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. I've learned the secret of being happy at any time in everything that happens to me. When I have enough to eat and when I go hungry, when I have more than I need and when I do not have enough. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Now that's a peaceful life. Amen. Amen.